of Choice Australia. Jenny, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Our absolute pleasure. So, looking at this one from sort of a broad base to begin with, how is this new reform going to provide women with wider access to pregnancy termination services in the Northern Territory compared to the laws before the Reform Act?
Mm. Well, look, to a large extent, I think that remains to be seen. I mean, one of the key things that this Act does is remove the requirement that all terminations have to happen in a hospital. So that's a really good thing because it means that women no longer have to travel to Darwin or Alice Springs from, significant distances, particularly for medical abortion, because clearly you don't need to be in a hospital to swallow tablets, right? That's just silly. So that's a really good move that this Act has achieved. But what I'm concerned about really is that a lot of the media has been talking about how medical abortion will be able to be provided all over the state by GPs everywhere. That's not actually the case in the bill. So it talks about that abortions can only be provided by what they describe as suitably qualified medical practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Act defines that as either someone who's an obstetrician and gynecologist. So, of course, if you have to see a specialist, you're still going to have to go to Darwin or Alice Springs. So that's not actually reducing that barrier of travel and distance. The other option is someone who's what they're describing as credentialed in the provision, advice, performance and procedures around fertility control. But that's not really defined. So they've yet to write regulations to accompany this or be the Act. And they're giving the Chief Health Officer the power under the regulations to determine what qualifications a medical practitioner needs to have in addition to being a registered medical practitioner. And it also means that the Chief Health Officer has to keep a register of all the abortions that take place in the Northern Territory, which could present privacy issues for women, and a register of all the health professionals who provide or assist in the provision of abortions. So I think there are quite a lot of risks and barriers that are still in this reform. We don't know how much extra training doctors are going to need to do. We don't know how accessible that will be. We don't know whether that's going to be a barrier for doctors. It's just too hard to take on too much extra training. They may not want to be on a government list of abortion providers. They may want to also work in a Catholic hospital, and the Catholic hospital might not employ them if they know they provide abortions. So there are all kinds of little devils in the detail in this bill that really concerns me. So will it actually improve access outside of major metropolitan centres? I'm not sure that it will. I think we need to wait and see what happens in terms of the regulations and the powers of the Chief Health Officer.
Okay, well, obviously a lot remaining to be seen once the laws are actually implemented. We can say, though, in the lead-up to it, as it were, the decriminalisation of abortion in the Northern Territory, it's come after years of public campaigning. There were failed attempts by previous governments in order to get this passed. Why has it actually taken so long for the Northern Territory government to pass this law reform?
Look, I think we could ask that question of all the states and territories. Why does it take so long? At the end of the day, it really comes down to who's sitting in Parliament at any given time. Unfortunately, our parliaments are not usually very representative of the population. It's usually much more conservative. Majority of them are men. A lot of them are heavily influenced by religious organisations who support the party or the candidate and provide a lot of donations and will withdraw all of that support if they pass legislation relating to things like abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, etc., that are against their religious views. And, of course, you know, politicians cop a lot of flack from anti-choice protesters and groups whenever this issue comes up. So a lot of the time they don't even want to tackle it because they just feel that it's controversial and that it attracts a lot of grief for both the parliamentarians and the staff. For example, we've still got Queensland and New South Wales who are relying purely on criminal law that was written in the mid-1800s and judicial precedent in the 60s and 70s. So they're even more out of date than what the Northern Territory was. So, you know, there are always campaigns, either public or quietly behind the scenes, trying to get law reform in this area. But it really comes down to who's in Parliament at the time and who's prepared to actually take on the issue and do the lobbying within their own people, within their own party, cross parties to try to get the numbers to pass a bill.
Well, I guess sort of just branching out slightly, what does the situation look like now for reproductive choice here in Australia, across Australia, in these other states?
Look, it really, really varies. We've got 8 different states and territories. We've got 8 different sets of laws, and we've got 8 different configurations of access issues. So, take, for example, at one end of the spectrum, we've got South Australia, where they were the first jurisdiction to reform their abortion law, although it's still not legally a woman's choice. It's still the doctor who makes the decision. However, they have the best access because all of their abortions are performed in the public sector. So the hospitals are all, and the health centres run by government, are all very approachable. They provide good services, and it's all free. At the other end of the spectrum, we've got places like Queensland and Western Australia, which of course have enormous land areas and geographical barriers, and quite limited services in, you know, Queensland's case, in the Eastern Seaboard, and WA's case, kind of, you know, lower corner where our cities are. So women have to travel considerable distances at considerable cost. Particularly in Queensland, there's almost no public provision, so it's extremely expensive as well as being geographically hard to access. Then we've got, for example, Victoria, where some public hospitals will provide limited services, a lot won't. There are lots of private clinics, but they're more expensive. There's been some rural and regional health networks who have actually gotten together and said, okay, how can we provide medical termination at low cost in our community so that our clients and patients don't have to travel? And so there were some really terrific models that have been set up in regional Victoria around local GPs, pharmacies, pathology centres, ultrasound, and so on. But that relies very much on individual health professionals who are prepared to take the time and the effort to work together to set up these models. So ideally what we need in Australia is some kind of national reproductive health strategy that would actually look at all of these issues around access, not just for abortion, but also for things like access to affordable contraception and the full range of options. A lot of people at the moment, for example, are talking about long-acting reversible contraceptives, which are the most modern and most effective, and they're quite difficult to get in Australia. If you want to have that done in the public system in Victoria, it's a six-month waiting list, right? They're not as accessible as we might think that contraception should be. So there's a whole range of things that need to be addressed, I think, in Australia to improve reproductive health, to bring down the rate of unintended pregnancy, as well as making abortion access less stressful and less costly for women.
Well, Jenny, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one this morning.
Thanks very much, John.
That was Jenny Elak, the president of Reproductive Choice Australia, discussing the Northern Territory's decriminalisation of abortion passed in the Termination of Pregnancy Law Reform Act this week. Still a way to go in other Australian states if we're looking at a pro-choice kind of medical system here in Australia. You are on the Daily Program.